Hi, it's Sydney, a chemistry student that has decided to share what I learn about polymers with others because they're really important to our world and to our future. This week, I'm discussing the basic types of polymerization reactions, or how we make polymers. I touched on a few of these reactions last week when talking about Wallace-Carruthers and condensation reactions, but I decided it would be good to do an episode describing the basics of the topic as well. I got most of this information from a polymer textbook titled Organic and Physical Chemistry of Polymers, but if you want to learn more about polymerization reactions, I would say pretty much any text on polymers would cover at least this topic and the basics of it. A polymerization reaction is defined as a process of reacting monomer molecules together in a chemical reaction to form polymer chains or three-dimensional structures. In our modern understanding of polymerization reactions, there are two broad categories: step growth polymerizations and chain polymerizations. Each of these categories is then broken into smaller subcategories. Step growth polymerizations happen when monomers have bifunctionality, or two different sites on a monomer molecule that can react with other monomers in the mixture. The monomers slowly react with each other, linking together to form dimers and trimers, chains of two or three monomers, and then so on. Eventually, these chains of monomers even start reacting with each other, and thus, over time, step growth polymerizations form long polymer chains of thousands of monomers. Wikipedia actually gave a great analogy to think about these reactions as like chains of people holding hands. Every person in a chain can connect to two other people, and thus the chain can keep continuously growing in size. One tricky part of step growth polymerizations is that they need a high extent of reaction to form quite long polymers. A high extent of reaction means that almost all of the monomers and reagents added to the reaction mixture need to be incorporated into the polymer product. Without almost finishing the reaction and using up all the reagents to form products, the polymer chains are likely to be shorter than desired. This property comes from the fact that step growth polymerizations form really small chains at first, and then those small chains react to form bigger chains and bigger chains and bigger chains. In fact, if you were to plot chain length in monomer units versus time for a step growth polymerization, you would see that their growth looks more exponential. Chain length grows very slowly in the beginning and somewhat slowly in the middle, but eventually towards the end of the reaction progression, the chain length spikes up greatly towards the polymer length desired. In order to achieve the high extent of reaction typically desired in step growth polymerizations, one can either increase the reactivity of the monomers or force the reaction to use up almost all of the reagents to make products. This forcing the reaction is also known as driving a reaction to completion. Increasing reactivity of monomers means that we would change the reaction that links the two monomers or two chains together to be one that happens faster or more easily. Thus, when two molecules are near each other in solution, they're much more likely to link together. This higher likelihood of linking together causes higher extents of reaction to be achieved, as the chains will naturally click together more often in solution. Driving the reaction to completion is another way of getting high extents of reaction, though. There are various methods of doing this, but the general goal is just encouraging the reaction to form as much product as possible by physically changing the conditions of the reaction. This could be by heating it or removing products as you go. It really depends, reaction to reaction, what would be the best method. One question that always confused me about step growth polymerizations is, how do they end? How do scientists ensure they make polymer chains at the length they want to from the reaction mixture? Well, these polymerizations are often planned out from the beginning to end at a certain time and in a certain way. Scientists know enough about the most common step growth polymerization reactions to understand exactly how much monomer needs to be added to a reaction mixture to form the desired polymer chains and sizes. Remember that these reactions progress to using up almost all the monomer added. So, by planning how much monomer to add, you can plan what size polymer you get. For reactions that are not well known or studied, one could test the polymer size as the reaction progressed to get an idea of how far it was going. And once you found the polymer size desired for your reaction, you could then stop it and remove the product. Now that we know the basics of step growth polymerization and how to make step growth-based polymers, let's talk about the common types of step growth polymerizations. There are two common types, polyadditions and polycondensations. Polyadditions are polymerization reactions that form from two monomers sticking together. This is similar to what happens in the holding hands analogy from earlier. Two molecules react to form a longer molecule and do not form any byproduct. In polycondensations, two monomers or chains react to form a larger molecule, and due to how that reaction happens, a side product is formed. This byproduct is typically a small molecule that then just sits in the reaction mixture and doesn't really do anything. A pretty common byproduct formed in polycondensations is water, but polycondensation reactions can form other byproducts as well. It just depends on the reaction used. The other main type of polymerization reaction is called a chain polymerization. A chain polymerization starts when a molecule gets activated in an initiation step. Activation essentially means that the molecule or monomer is unstable and wants to react with something and become stable again. This activated molecule then reacts with a stable molecule, bonding them together and transferring the active site to the new end of the formed molecule in the process. The step of active site transfer and chain bonding and formation is called propagation because the active site propagates along the molecule. Finally, once the desired polymer length is achieved through propagation, the active site on the molecule is stopped in a process called termination. Termination can either occur naturally by the active site reacting in the mixture, so it just kind of disappears, or chemically by adding a molecule to the mixture that is meant to quench the active site and make it inactive. So chain polymerization has three steps: initiation, propagation, and termination. And the step that really creates the polymer is propagation. The initiation and termination steps are just present to start and stop the propagation. Unlike step growth polymerization, chain polymerization does not require a high extent of reaction to achieve large polymers. In chain polymerization, in its most basic form, a single monomer adds to the chain in each propagation reaction. So, if we were to plot chain length versus time in a chain polymerization reaction, the line would be linear, as opposed to the exponential growth line seen in a step growth polymerization. Although a high extent of reaction is not required in chain polymerizations, there are still other requirements to make the polymerization successful. First, the active species formed upon addition of the last monomer molecule is the same nature as the original one. This means that if we propagate the active site from one monomer to another and form a chain, that newly added monomer must still maintain the active site and maintain the same type of active site. Some monomer units are not able to propagate active species in this way and thus would not be usable in chain polymerizations. Second, the driving force to form a polymer in the reaction must be high. Certain molecules don't really readily link into a polymer and thus they just wouldn't work for these types of reactions. Due to these requirements, only a few types of monomers can be used in chain polymerizations. The first type of monomer is molecules with unsaturated groups. This means molecules with double or triple bonds. Part of the double or triple bond can break and form an active site on the molecule, and then that active site can propagate through all the monomers by breaking the same double or triple bonds present. The second type of monomer is molecules with rings. In these molecules, the ring is attacked by an active site and causes it to break open. One end of the molecule is then bonded to where the previous active site was, And the other end of the broken chain or ring becomes the new active site. So there's four different basic types of chain polymerizations that these two basic types of monomers can undergo. And each is defined by the difference in what the active site that propagates along the polymer is. The first and most commonly mentioned is radical chain polymerization. In these reactions, an active site is a radical, a single electron-based molecule. And because electrons always want to be paired up, that radical will react with other monomers to create a bond and get paired with another electron. However, in the process of the first radical getting paired, a new radical is formed along the molecule, allowing for the chain propagation to occur. The second and third types of chain polymerizations both rely on bonds being made and propagated due to charge imbalances. These are called anionic and cationic chain polymerizations. In anionic, a negatively charged ion, or an anion, bonds with a neutrally charged molecule, and a new anionic active site then forms on the created molecule. In cationic, a positively charged ion, a cation, does the exact same thing. The driving force in these reactions is that charged molecules pretty much always desire to become neutral either through getting more or giving away electrons. So the anion or cations are driven to form new bonds in order to attain a neutral charge. The final type of chain polymerization is coordination chain polymerization. In these reactions, a monomer is coordinated or bonded to a metal, and the driving force is the metal reacting with more monomers. This is a vast oversimplification of what really happens in coordination polymerization, but it does get the general idea across. In all these reactions, a very important component is the ability to make the polymerization living or controlled. Living polymerization means that the initiation step happens really quickly and at the same time across a reaction. This is called the birth. Thus, all the polymer chains in the reaction mixture grow at the same time during the propagation, or the living portion. Then the termination step also occurs rather fast to ensure all the molecules and polymer chains stop growing at the same time as well. So a living polymerization makes all the polymers in a batch very similar in size. Controlling size of polymers helps the properties of the output material made from them be consistent. Thus, making living polymerizations is essential towards creating consistent polymer-based products. So, now that we've covered the basics of step growth and chain polymerizations, I wanted to finish by summarizing the key differences between the two polymerization methods. Step growth polymerizations occur when two molecules undergo a chemical reaction together to create a larger molecule. Chain polymerizations occur when one molecule with an active site reacts with a previously unreacted monomer and forms a molecule one unit longer. Although these both form polymers, the mechanisms of forming the polymers in each of them is quite different, and thus the types of polymers possible from each are different as well. This week, I started my review of more basic polymer concepts, and in the future, I hope to alternate weeks between reviewing basic polymer concepts and talking about polymers in more modern or applicable ideas. So next week, I will be focusing on applying some of the concepts I discussed today to something a little bit more tangible. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed hearing about some of the basics of polymerization reactions. Until next week, I hope you have a fantastic week. Bye!